Okay, let's jump right into the pool and hope there's some water in there. It's draining rapidly. Things are not looking good out there. And if you heard earlier, I'll repeat it now. The children of mothers who have brilliantly chosen to be injected with that biological kill weapon during their pregnancies are now appearing in NICUs in hospitals all across the country. Welcome back, Erica, and tell us what NICUs are and why that's an issue.
Good evening, Jeff. Nice to be back. So we're starting to see some of the babies that were born to mothers who chose to get the vax, and the NICU, NICU units, which stands for neonatal intensive care units in many hospitals, are now full of infants, newborn infants, with cardiac issues. And apparently no one's allowed to ask the vaccination status of the mothers, but if you do some digging and you look into their charts, coincidentally, all of the mothers of these babies received the vax during their pregnancies.
Okay, one plus one, there it is. I think you can all connect that up. Here's the other side of that coin. A week ago, this coming Friday, would have been last Friday, the Friday before last, there were some schools that began to vaccinate 5 to 11-year-olds. What I was told by a doctor was that a week ago Saturday, the day after, a large Midwestern, this is a children's hospital now, was literally full in the ER of children that had been brought in suffering from heart issues. The hospital staff was warned, do not talk about this to anyone, and they apparently haven't, under threat of losing their jobs or worse. So you have now, obviously, with these little infants and the older children, drastic, terrible reactions from this kill shot that are beginning to show up in hospitals coast to coast, and nobody's talking about it. This is the great child massacre cover-up. I think it's fair to say the media is spending more energy covering this up than they cover up adult deaths. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you're not hearing anything in the mainstream media and just bits and pieces in the alternative news media, but they are coming through.
You got to look.
There's no doubt that these kids are getting injured, seriously injured. I mean, 13-year-olds having heart attacks, and they're trying to normalize it.
I saw a story where they actually blamed that on climate change.
Yes, I did see that also. Yes.
No joke.
And also the increase in cardiac issues in newborns is also due to global warming.
That'll teach everybody. Don't mess with Mother Nature, right?
The teenagers who are suffering these issues, cardiac issues as well, that is now blamed on cannabis use.
I saw that one, too.
Overzealous cannabis use.
Yep. Yep. You're not supposed to inhale, friends. Remember, don't inhale. Here's another one. When this whole thing began to roll out, I saw, and I still kick myself to this day, that I didn't save it, but I saw a very intelligently written article that made mention of prions being attached to the spike protein, and they somehow were released after they got into the body. Now, that's a long time ago. That's well over a year ago. Well, close to a year ago. I got a story now from Brazil. There is apparently an outbreak of prion disease in Brazil. And the government is freaking out because Brazil is a big cattle-raising enterprise. Huge. And the last thing they want is mad cow disease being talked about as running rampant in Brazil, because people will blame what? They'll blame the beef. But it's not the beef. Let me read a little of this. This is a good story. This really ties into a number of things. Remember, Guillain-Barré is one disease. Don't get that confused with Creutzfeldt-Jakob. Don't. It's not the same thing at all. You can recover from Guillain-Barré. You don't recover from Creutzfeldt-Jakob, otherwise known as CJD or VCJD, which means variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob, or NVCJD, new variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. All these things were being thrown around 20 years ago when Britain was overrun with mad cow. So, we have Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Okay. The Brazilian Ministry of Agriculture said, in each case, no relationship with the consumption of beef. Well, what do we think it might possibly be related to if it's not related to the beef? And Brazil is a heavily vaxxed country. Are you seeing anything about prion diseases lately in the postings that you monitor?
No, the social media posts are more vague. You know, people do mention cognitive issues, personality changes, emotional issues, that type of thing. But many of these people that are suffering these effects, they're not getting answers from doctors, so there's really no diagnosis made. I mean, they know something's wrong, but what exactly it is, it's anybody's guess.
Right, right. We have a number of potentials for brain damage from this bioweapon that may manifest, are manifesting, I'm sure, already, that may lead to people just literally becoming zombies. That's not an exaggeration. This is getting to be so multifaceted, it's very difficult for even us to track, to try to present to you for your consideration. Neurological disorders, and then you can take it from there. Emotional disorders, personality disorders. What do we know about that? Except that we've heard a number of reports that mom isn't the same since she took the shot. Or grandpa and grandma, they fight all the time now. Even younger people, their personalities change. He's not the same anymore. What do we know?
Well, we certainly know there are neurotoxic effects from these shots. That spike protein, it seems like there isn't anything nefarious that it can't do.
Stop right there for a second. Hold on. There is nothing nefarious that the spike protein can't do. That's a big statement, and it's true. This is, we're going to get more into this in just a minute, but I wanted to point out that what Erica just said is crucial. Hold on to that thought. The spike protein is incredibly diverse in its pathology. Go on.
Yeah, so in terms of cognitive function, you know, it definitely, I guess, shatters the blood-brain barrier, which means it just, you know, your brain has a protective mechanism for keeping toxins out, and when that is compromised, it lets in all kinds of toxins, and just your brain becomes poisoned. So the spike protein is known to disrupt the blood-brain barrier. It itself will enter into the brain and cause neuropsychiatric effects. Depending on where the spike proteins end up, if it's the frontal lobe, then you're going to see changes in your personality or that person's personality. You know, if it's getting into the hypothalamus, which it does seem to be doing, that would explain the menstrual issues with women. You know, if it's dysregulating all of the downstream effects that the hypothalamus is responsible for, such as temperature regulation, balance, blood pressure, heart rate, circadian rhythm, just all the things that enable your body to respond to environmental cues. We know that the spike protein dysregulates both iron and zinc metabolism, and insofar as zinc goes, not many people probably know this, but the dysregulation of your zinc or that dysregulation of zinc is a hallmark of schizophrenia.
When you say dysregulation of zinc, this is important. I recently cut my zinc intake in half, and I wasn't taking anything more than the minimum suggested daily, but you made a point that cutting zinc back might not be such a bad idea, that zinc can interfere with other things as well. What about
that? Minerals are tricky to balance, and zinc has a kind of an inverse relationship with copper. So when zinc is high, copper is low, and then when copper goes high, zinc goes low. So it's a balancing act. And if you over-supplement with zinc, it is possible to drive down your copper levels to a really precarious state. And when you don't have enough copper, or your copper isn't regulated properly, more accurately, most people have an overload of copper. The problem is they don't have the carrier protein to regulate it. But when you don't have enough copper, your iron becomes dysregulated. So it's very tricky to balance these types of minerals. So this spike protein dysregulates both zinc and iron. And both of these, when they're dysregulated, the iron will cause a ton of oxidative stress. Not to mention you become anemic, but you're suffering from oxidative stress at the same time. And zinc is involved in probably 200 different enzyme reactions in the body. And when the zinc is not in the right place at the right time, these things don't happen.
How do we survive even without the bioweapon? It sounds like it's so incredibly sophisticated, the human body, and we just take it for granted. People don't guard and protect their health with proper food, or at least reasonable food. I understand we're all trapped by this, not all of us, but most of us are trapped by fast food and marketing and advertising, and the soils are dead and the food is dead and the food is full of awful toxins and poisons. It just goes on and on. I'm amazed, and I've said this for a long time, I mean, like decades, how is it that the human body can absorb such abuse and continue functioning? I've been amazed by that.
Yeah, it is rather remarkable. I mean, the body has countless, you know, regulatory and compensatory mechanisms for dealing with adverse situations like that. But at some point, you reach the tipping point.
Yeah, boom. And there's a lot of that going on. And it's, as they say, well, as Obama and Biden say, and their handlers, it's going to be a very dark winter. So I would urge all of you to at least begin now to try to clean your diet up, if nothing else. Get a good multiple daily vitamin and mineral. That's not to be laughed at. I mean, it can make a difference if you get a good one, because most people are vitamin and mineral deficient, imbalanced. They're in trouble, and they don't know it. So give yourself a break. Find the highest quality vitamin and mineral you can, and take one a day, or whatever they call for. Ask your nutritionist at your local health food store if you need help. They'll make recommendations, right?
Yeah, I would definitely emphasize the minerals. I mean, people take lots of vitamins, but a lot of times you cannot use the vitamins without the minerals. The minerals are the cofactors that help the vitamins work. And we're all, because of the growing methods, the green harvesting, depleted soils, overprocessing, we're all mineral deficient.
You saw the story yesterday about how fertilizer is now going to be coming in shorter and shorter supply.
Yep.
And
yep.
The laugh about that is, what will they replace those short supplies with? How about liquefied human corpses, which will be approved for fertilization? How about the use of so-called low-level toxic nuclear waste to be used as fertilizers? They're doing it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Washington State approved it. So, look, the game is on, and we're going to lose unless we wake up and individually, at least, begin to take responsibility for our health and welfare. They don't want us to do that. That's why they bomb us with this crap. It's all over the internet now. It doesn't matter if it's commercial TV anymore. It's just amazing. There's a video that we played for you. When did we play Dr. Chetty?
I think it was last Monday.
All right. I'm going to play Dr. Chetty again. He's a South African doctor. He gives a very, very shrewd and succinct analysis and evaluation as to how the COVID bioweapon works and how people just don't seem to realize it in time. That's the other part of the game. Anything you want to add before I play this? It's only 9 minutes long.
No, I think he bears repeating. He says it so succinctly. Wish other doctors would step up too.
Name one in America that's saying what he's saying. I can't.
No.
All right, now listen to this, and I've always been one to replay things. So if you think you heard it before, believe me, you didn't. You missed most of it. That's just the way the mind works. So let's take a close listen at this, gentlemen. There's a little bit of a video interrupt, but pay no attention to that. But this is his first name, Shankara, something like that. He's in South Africa. He's of Indian derivation. And here we go. Dr. Chetty.
I think the perspective around what's happening is vitally important. We need to understand what the aim is. Everyone knows that there's inconsistencies, that there's fear-mongering, that there's coercion. But we need to understand why. Why is that there? Now, the most important thing I think for us to understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction. Spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made.
Okay, let's try that again. I just want to make sure it sticks.
Spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it. So it's a poison with an agenda. Now, we've got an engineered virus, and we've got a mandated vaccine that follow on each other. So basically, what looks like has transpired here, they've engineered a virus and put on this weapons-grade package onto it called spike protein. Now, spike protein,
well,
remember...
Well, honestly, was when you want to sing something,
hold on, I'm fixing it.
Now, it's been put into a virus, or let's call it a vector, and we've exposed the planet to a small dose of it. Now, initially, spike protein triggers an allergic reaction. And the allergic reaction, if untreated, causes death. It's what we've seen with COVID illness. But that is not the end game. That is to test the water. So you're going to get a small percentage of people react. We'll see all the deaths. The eighth day is when this reaction occurs. So best we isolate the planet for 14 days so nobody notices when this occurs. People get to hospital too late. We mandate protocols in hospitals to engineer death and damage, to steer all the fear and the rest that we need. We create all the confusion. We make sure we steer humanity towards mass formation. We take away all the faith that we have, all the hope. We keep people isolated. So we've been conned into thinking giving away our freedoms would be the best thing for us. So the safest place for us was in jail. And that's where we all are at this point in time. But the game that they played with this engineered virus was to justify the vaccination of the planet. Now, the vaccination of the planet will expose us to spike protein for a longer period. So, spike protein...
Erica, do we know how long, do we have an idea yet on how long after you get the bioweapon injection your body will produce spike protein? What's our best guess right now?
I'm hearing 10 weeks right now, but I think it's highly variable.
Weeks and your body stops producing, even though it's been genetically ordered to produce it indefinitely? 10 weeks?
Well, it's not supposed to produce it indefinitely. You're supposed to just produce it for a short period of time.
Right.
Engage your immune system to see it, respond to it, create a protective response to it, and then it will remember because you have memory B cells and memory T cells, so the next time you encounter it, shouldn't be a problem. It doesn't seem like everybody is translating the mRNA into that protein, and that could be for a variety of reasons. So they may not produce any spike protein at all or very little, and then it tapers off. There's other people that, for whatever reason, perhaps the young people in particular, because they're going through a growth spurt, they are very prolific protein producers, and they may produce severely high amounts. Like, I'm thinking the young teenage boys that are coming down with myocarditis almost immediately after getting these vax. Well, the teenage boys are in a very aggressive growth spurt at that time of life. I've heard of people 3 months out, people being sickened around them.
Right.
So clearly they're still exuding something, spike protein or whatever else.
Yeah.
So it's highly variable. Nobody's really looking at it or measuring it.
Mm-hmm.
They just keep advocating for boosters.
Lest we forget, I was just going to say that, never worry, because to the rescue, your second shot, your first booster shot, and your second booster shot. Some people have 4 shots already in this country.
Yep, they do.
And there's no end to it. So, all right, let's go back to Dr. Chetty.
If we understand what it's meant to do, yes, initially it will trigger an immune response and an allergic kind of reaction, and we'd have immediate deaths from that. But you don't poison someone and they die immediately, you'll notice the poisoning. So straight away, when you give a vaccine, the first 14 days after a vaccine, any side effects cannot be attributable to the vaccine, because that is where all the allergic reactions would lie. Following that, we're going to see the endothelial injuries that this vaccine causes with its, or the spike protein, with its influence on ACE2 receptors. Those are the deaths that are meant to follow, and they will never be pinned onto spike protein, a very well-engineered toxin. Now, spike protein is also a membrane protein. So the mRNA will distribute this throughout our body. It will be made in various tissues around our body. It will be incorporated into those membranes around our body, into those specific tissues. Those tissues will be recognized as foreign, and will trigger a host of autoimmune responses. So the deaths that are meant to follow the vaccinations will never be able to be pinned on the poison. They will be too diverse, they will be too many, and they will be too in broader time frame for us to understand that we have been poisoned.
That's the ultimate plausible deniability of Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, etc. We had nothing to do with it. It's too many different things. That's
yeah, and that was described in that scenario, the SPARS pandemic.
Very good. All right.
I think this is the big plan. It is dependent. This toxin is dependent on the host's response to it.
Mm.
Just like the eighth day and what followed COVID infection or illness was dependent on a host response. So we got mild, moderate, and severe illness post eighth day, and it confused all of us. So we keep talking about COVID pneumonia, but we're chasing the virus, and the virus was just the vector to give us a taste of the poison. Now this toxin in the long term is going to get people with pre-existing illness to have those illnesses exacerbated. It has bits of prion in it. It has bits of HIV protein in it. It is definitely engineered. So people with cancers are going to have their cancers flare up. And
I've got to stop there. We have seen and we have spoken to you on this program about these super cancers that all of a sudden break out in people who have been cancer-free for their entire lives or cancer-free for years after having a bout of cancer. This spike protein and this bioweapon, explain, if you would, briefly, the two or three critical issues that are suppressed after the injection that allow cancer to run berserk in the body.
Well, let's see where to start.
P53 is one, and I'm just saying there are mechanisms the body has to suppress on its own tumor production. It goes after them.
Well, one of the things these vaccines do, the mRNA and the lipid nanoparticle that would be Moderna and Pfizer, is that in order to get into a cell, in order to transfect it and make that cell, force that cell to produce the spike protein rather than its own proteins, you have to disable the interferon response. So that's first and foremost. So if you don't have this intracellular interferon, that's one step to evading the body's surveillance of cancer cells. So you've hijacked the cell. It's now producing a foreign protein. This foreign protein, the spike can make its way into the nucleus and now disable two of your DNA repair genes. And that's not the P53 that I'm talking about. It's the BRCA one, and I forget what the other one is. But those are two that are absolutely critical to sensing and repairing.
Right?
No, it was, I'm drawing a blank on it. It's a more of an obscure one.
Okay.
But these are DNA repair genes. In other words, they sense when the DNA has been damaged and they go about signaling the repair of the DNA. The P53 is a tumor suppressor gene, and that can be inactivated by the S2 portion of the spike protein, which is being produced inside the cell. The cell is going to miss another opportunity to keep itself from becoming cancerous. What else? The retinoblastoma gene, certainly in the case of the adenovirus, might be. And then there are other viruses that are often co-infecting the cell, such as these XMRVs that Dr. Judy Mikovits has talked about at length. They come from mice, but they infect cells and they cause cancer. And so when these things are replicating, they can turn a cell cancerous.
Wow.
Some of these herpes viruses that become activated by the presence of this foreign RNA can lead to cancer. Epstein-Barr being one of them, in some cases a cytomegalovirus. There's multiple ways. And aside from the fact that just having this foreign protein being constantly produced is disrupting signaling. We mentioned the kisspeptin peptide protein a number of weeks ago, also mm-hmm. known as metastin. When that protein is dysregulated, then you've got runaway cancer. So there's no end to
and it's not just
a pathway
one or
to cancer
two.
With this thing.
Correct. Cancer in general, let's say that, huh? Because it's not just one or two types. We're seeing different types of cancers all over the body that are just breaking out.
Well, and we can also add the toxicity of the lipid nanoparticles. They cause horrendous oxidative stress. We can add the microclotting that's happening from the spike protein, just
constantly
getting stuck in the in the capillaries, and that's creating a condition of hypoxia, which that will breed cancer.
You were the first person that I ever heard talk about the incredible toxicity and danger of these lipid nanoparticles, which have been, I think, largely overlooked by the media types who are out there talking about these things. They talk spike, 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 this and that. Okay, the lipid nanoparticles are bad news for the human body. Real bad news. And nobody's talking about it. And remember, they are what is surrounding the mRNA in each injection. And how many mRNA units, we'll call them, are there in each injection covered with lipid nanoparticles? 50 trillion of them. 50 trillion. And so these lipid nanoparticles are freed up when they leave the mRNA to go all over the body and cause all kinds of problems. It's
yeah,
incredible.
Certainly they will damage the red blood cells, the erythrocytes, and that may be one of the reasons when they do the live blood analysis, these things look like they've been almost shredded. They're just the cell membranes are, they're a mess.
They're torn up. It's quite shocking. Yeah.
But beyond that, though, when these lipid nanoparticles, after they dump their cargo, the mRNA, inside the cell, these lipid, well, they're now positively charged once they've dumped that, they stay in the cell, and whatever organelle, be it the endoplasmic reticulum, the nucleus, the mitochondria, every time they bump up against a negatively charged cell membrane, they damage it. So if the cell cannot get rid of these positively charged lipids, then the cell, that's another way it can lead to cancer, the oxidative stress that's happening in the cell. So the cell has a choice. It can either self-destruct, get rid of itself, because it's damaged beyond repair, or it becomes cancerous.
Good luck, friends. Let's go back to Dr. Chetty here.
They died of the cancer. People with vessel injuries or predisposition, like our diabetics and hypertensives, are going to have strokes and heart attacks and the rest at varying times, and we'll attribute those to their pre-existing conditions. People are going to develop over time autoimmune conditions, a diversity of which will never be addressed by any pharmaceutical intervention because they are far too targeted. And so we've got a rough road coming. But I think if people understand what the intention is, then we'll understand why what's happened has happened. The illogic, the coercion, the suppression is all warranted if you understand that there is a bigger plan. This plan is to make sure that we can control and kill off a large proportion of our population without anyone suspecting that we were poisoned. And so I think the justification for everything we see is warranted in understanding the end game. We've given up our freedoms. We were told that jail is the best place for us to be secure. So we willingly went down that road. Now today, if we want our freedoms back, they've got a mandated vaccine. We were herded like cattle into a kraal, and the only way out is through the dip. And that is where we lost our freedoms. And so I think there's a huge picture at play. The vaccines make absolutely no sense. We were sold the vaccine as our savior from the start. And if we look at the science does not play out. The vaccine is absolutely nonsensical. We keep fighting about how good or bad the vaccine is. I just want to make 2 points on the vaccinations. Vaccines are meant to stimulate immunity, and in doing so, prevent infection and prevent transmission. That is what gives a vaccine a population or group benefit. So if you take the vaccine, by not getting the virus or transmitting it, you protect me. Now, clearly, that has not occurred. The vaccines do not do that. Now they claim that the vaccine has a benefit in preventing severe illness and death. That is a therapeutic benefit. My intervention with treatment does the same, but I do not expose the entire world to the side effects of my treatment. I only expose sick people to that. And that therapeutic benefit does not come from immunity, but it comes from the vaccine exposing you to spike protein and building a measure of tolerance to an allergen, not to any immune mediated response to a virus. So the virus distracts us from the big picture. It's spike protein that's the toxin here. Yeah. Secondly, the prevention of severe illness and death is an individual benefit if it actually does that. So if you take the vaccine, it prevents you getting severely ill or dying. It has no group benefit and doesn't benefit me at all. So why am I being coerced into forcing you to take the vaccine to benefit me? To just put that into perspective for a layman, skydiving is an individual risk and an individual benefit that does not influence anyone around me. And so my right to choose to skydive is vitally important. Now, they want me to skydive because they say it benefits humanity. Now, they can't prove the science, and they can't tell me how this act of mine is going to benefit humanity. Yet they insist I do it. When I didn't and I can't see the science, they offered me a beer and a donut. But I still don't want to skydive. You still haven't proven the science and tell me how it's going to benefit humanity. Now, it looks like they want to push me out the plane. But when I look up, the parachute they provide me is full of holes. And they don't want to admit to that. And I see a few dead bodies lying on the ground. And they tell me they're fast asleep. I don't believe that. Now, if they can prove a population benefit to the vaccine, maybe I'll take this plunge for the benefit of humanity. But until that point, we are being coerced.
Pushed out of the plane with a parachute full of holes. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
I mean, I think if people actually knew or understood what these vaccines are really about, that you know, by taking this injection, you're instructing your body to manufacture one of the most toxic proteins known to man now, a designer protein that is capable of wreaking havoc on every bodily system. First and foremost, the blood system, the nervous system, and through those two mechanisms, just every other organ system.
You're dead.
And if you cannot shut it off, or you have this runaway protein production, how is that of any benefit?
To anyone. Answer, it's not. It wasn't intended to be. This whole thing was conjured up, created, tested, and deployed. It's not an experimental anything. It is a successful deployment of a bioweapon. There's no experimental aspect to this at all.
No. I mean, to put it in another perspective, would you take an injection that caused your body to produce ricin? All right? It's a similar size protein, or it's a toxin. It's a lectin, which means it's a protein covered in sugar, which then that's also the spike protein. It's protein that's covered in sugars. And it has all kinds of biological effects, none of which are good.
Well, I'm not worried about that.
The capability of dysregulating everything.
Because they have Rivax now. And why did somebody invent Rivax? Why did someone invent an alleged way to deal with ricin? A Rivax vaccine? What do you think? Somebody's planning something? Just maybe?
Maybe.
Stand by.
Now they've got the cure. Now they have to create the disease so they can sell the cure.
And create the panic and
right.
The fear. And drive everyone right back to the needle. The needle is the answer. No, it's not. This is so insidious, the whole damn thing. It just boggles the mind. The more you look at it, the more you see. Didn't you come up with three? Go ahead.
I think because we've never dealt with this type of thing before. We've never dealt with real biowarfare on a global scale as we are now. I think most people don't appreciate the magnitude and the potential of this. I mean, it's hard. It's difficult because we've never dealt with it before, but the threat is real. You know, I'm not advocating living in a state of hysteria or panic, but just awareness.
Just got an email here commending Frank Joseph on his first hour tonight. And it's from Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. You raise an interesting point that ought to be discussed to some degree. You never know. She said, I listened to two former military personnel with Linda Moulton Howe just today, and they said that ETs are behind the depopulation agenda on planet Earth. Now, that brings to mind what we've mentioned a few times here. I've been saying, don't forget the word replacement. Maybe we're being removed.
Certainly has that potential.
Yeah. We're being taken off the planet to clear it away for the next generation of hominids, whatever they are.
Well, and it's happening in a slow, methodical fashion so that there is plausible deniability, and, you know, the fear or hysteria kind of waxes and wanes depending on, you know, what people are visibly seeing.
Which ain't much when it comes to killing kids. They're doing a good job hiding that so far.
Well, yeah, but, you know, some of these parents are you know, defending it. They just were unlucky.
How can that be? And how can it be that how many videos have we seen where people have been mortally injured or virtually mortally injured or wounded by these bioweapons, and they're sitting at a bed somewhere or whatever, and they're quoted as still defending what they call a vaccine? They just won't go anywhere else. The denial issue is huge.
Well, that's the Stockholm syndrome. You know, that you defend or you identify with your captor.
And then begin to protect and defend.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a disorder.
Okay, we've got about seven minutes. And I wanted to let you go back and talk, if you want, a little bit more about this issue of bacteria in the digestive tract becoming infected and yielding toxicity to the body, which may be just about as bad as spike protein. Who knows? Tell us the latest on that.
Okay, so this is pertaining to the Italian researchers who first confirmed in their research that the SARS-CoV-2 virus, coronavirus, is capable of replicating in bacteria cells. And they first announced it in March of this year, released a preprint, which has been subsequently peer-reviewed and accepted for general publication. And they identified a number of toxins that were being produced when these bacteria became infected by this SARS-CoV-2 virus. And these toxins are in the same category as venomous animal toxins, in particular ones that are found in sea snails and or snakes, which have both hematological and neurological adverse effects. And there's many, many of them. They're not just a couple. There's a whole spectrum of these different venomous toxins that are, I guess, metabolized by the bacteria when they are either infected by the virus or in the proximity of the virus. That's unclear. And the reason they were looking into this was because they were bewildered as to why a respiratory virus would also have neurological manifestations and coagulation issues. So that caused them to look at other avenues of, you know, if this is a respiratory virus, why is it causing these other symptoms? And this may be the answer. They don't know if it's the bacteria that's reading the RNA in the virus, or maybe it's through quorum sensing that when this virus is in the proximity of certain bacteria, the bacteria already contain genes as a defense mechanism to produce these toxins. But at any rate, the Italians followed up that initial study that was formally published in July with another study where they went into more depth about which toxins were being produced and what their effects are. So there's reason to suspect, particularly now, since whatever is afflicting people and causing these illnesses, their symptoms don't seem to respond to the normal course of what was helping the COVID patients in the beginning. In other words, people seem to require absolutely an antibiotic to get over whatever this is. So it may be a situation where, yes, this virus has morphed into something that's accumulating in people's gut bacteria or sinus cavity bacteria or skin bacteria to a point where, you know, there's enough bacteria producing enough of these hideously toxic peptides to create a real serious disease.
The other side of this whole story is, how do we find out? How do we learn things about this? Where do we go for, I won't call it the truth because that's become a rather corrupt term, unfortunately, but reality. Reality. Where do we go to find reality? And I'm talking about online. Pete, all of you who are online, we're all online. Where do we go? We often end up at BitChute, right? Rumble. We don't go to YouTube too often anymore for reality. But I just found out yesterday, Eric, I don't know if you heard this or not. Did you hear about BitChute allegedly being purchased?
No.
By the BBC.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm seeing. No one has refuted it yet, and I don't want anyone out there to quote me, but that's what I'm seeing. The BBC has bought BitChute. Wouldn't surprise me. Everybody's got a price, basically. Almost everybody has a price. And BitChute doing well. BBC with unlimited money, the crown, right? Unlimited money. And what better way to control the narrative than to control the outlets, okay?
Yep.
And we also know that Rumble, the Canadian outfit, what was it, several months ago, introduced their updated and revised community standards. What does that tell you? It's called censorship. So where do you go next? These sites struggle up, get on their feet, and then somebody comes along and says, we'll give you, $1 billion for your site. And what are they going to say? No. They're going to say, hell yeah, I'll take it. I'm out of here. I did it. It's hard work. I'm done. And so there's another platform gone. So it's very hard to find a good, solid place to go and to trust. And I hope many of you understand we do our very best here to bring you the best we can. And the nice thing about this and our feedback often comes from seeing especially Erica's work, but our work on other platforms several days, a week later. And it's good that the word is getting out there. But we know that you can rely pretty much most of the time on this venue. We do our best to find the best information for you, period. And I just want you to know that we're never sitting back. We're always working at it. And that's making us feel like we're doing the right thing. So, all right, final comment?
Well, I would just say that, you know, that this is further evidence that this is, in fact, a bioweapon. The fact that agencies like the NIH won't commit to investigating any of these topics as to what's making people sick. It's a cover-up.
Nope. And just be careful when you're looking at the internet. Always take things with a grain of salt or more. Don't jump. Think. Take your time. Erica, thank you. talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, and thanks to all of you, and we will see you tomorrow, Wednesday already. Wow. All right, take good care. Talk soon.